I'm very happy to address you this evening on the subject of the universe of feelings, spiritual techniques for developing spiritual love. I'm also very happy about the surroundings. It really looks very scenic here. We feel like eagles in the eagle's nest with the eagle's perspective on the UN and other buildings. I'm very grateful to our gracious host, who I understand really took a flight just for this program to be here and give us the space for our evening program. So we certainly want to make best use out of our time together. And yes, honor this opportunity to go deeply together on a journey. My part now will be to discuss the subject matter of love, and I'm very, very, very aware that most of you have heard many lectures on this and are thinking, oh, what will we learn today? I really hope that what I can share with you will not only inspire you and deeply, but maybe fill your heart with some strength to pursue this very deep need of the human soul to find something which we could call love of God. So let me start with a little mantra. Please join in me if you do know the different parts of the mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajanati Mirandasya Jnananjala Salakaya. Shakshun militam yenai tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda. Sri Advaita Garadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The most ancient spiritual text is certainly the collection or library of texts called the Vedas, the Urschriften, the Urtexts, which have been handed down in an oral tradition for a long, long time. We have just marked with great joy in our heart how wonderful your space is, which you are kindly hosting us in. We have totally spoken words of praise and gratitude, and please accept that from our heart. We really want to thank you very much for even coming in a little speedy way from Latin America to host this evening. And I really hope that the vibrations which we send out from here will go far and wide. Thank you so much. let me continue. So in the ancient Vedas, we find much of the knowledge transmitted by ways of a dialogue. For instance, the dialogue between the saint Yajñavalkya and his wife, who is constantly asking him the most intricate of questions. I think in our Western culture we would call this nagging, but in the Vedic culture these deep, deep questions demanding an answer, going deeper and deeper into the subject, are most welcome, most welcome. So Maitri, that's the name of this inquisitive woman, asks her husband Yajñavalkya, "My dear husband, truly tell me, what are the two most essential needs of a human being?" And Yajñavalkya answers this question like he has answered millions of questions of Maitri. It's a whole, you know, it takes a whole library to really collect all the answers of Yajñavalkya to his wife's question. He answers this question in a very typical way. "Oh, listen, saintly Maitri, as I will attempt to give you the answer." And then he prepares to give an answer, and then he gives the answer. The two most essential needs of the human being are to love and to receive love. Please check this answer and see how it fits with you and your needs. Don't we feel sometimes that if we could just express our love to the highest degree, a love for other people, maybe a love for the world? I understand that our gracious host is extremely active. I have not yet understood the whole extent, but I begin to understand it's awesome, awesomely active in the peace movement. So later you even have to educate me more on what you do in your programs. And this is an example of a feeling that I want to really share my love, the joy of my existence with others. I wish for others to also feel peace and feel able to express themselves. And also, an equally important welcome. I hope we can accommodate you. Maybe Sharon, you can be the good angel who supplies seats for everyone. Here are still two seats right in the front. I will not look all the time at you, so you can feel very happy here. Welcome. So, also we want to receive love. We know from experience that if we can feel how love arrives at our door, and if we are able to let love come in and take her seat in our hearts, we are very, very happy. We do not require much more at this moment. So Yajñavalkya said, "Listen, O Maitri, the two most essential needs of the human being are to give love and to receive love." From this, when there is this feeling of love, this relationship of love, then you can tolerate almost everything and go with a wonderful immune system. This has been measured really through the life, which can get diseases away from your door, and which can also empower you to do many, many things. Think about these two areas, to give love and to receive love. I remember one incident which I would like to share with you, an experience I had made in Jagannath Puri last summer. It was in July, I suppose. July, yes, this year, this last July. I had gone to a festival of love, an unusual festival. It was in Jagannath Puri, a coastal town of India, and once a year the Lord, who's worshipped in this temple, he's called Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, was brought out of the temple onto the streets, where he would be put onto a huge, huge chariot. It takes several months to build this chariot. And then his devotees, whose number come into the million, would pull him down the street of Puri. And I was informed that when you go there and you see how the Lord comes out of the temple, you will feel so much love that you will be empowered to do unusual things. That was my information. And I had gone there. A little later I will show you a photo of this festival. You will not believe it. And I had gone there, yes, as a researcher, as a devotee, but mostly as a writer. I wanted to see if it is possible to experience love in a festival where a few million people come together. And for that matter, divine love, an exchange between God and the living entity. So I had come. It was a very, very hot day. I had asked, when will the Lord come? And I was informed at 6 o'clock, so knowing in the morning, so knowing Indian times, I arrived at 7 o'clock. And then the sun began to rise. It became hotter and hotter. It was 10 o'clock, the Lord had not come. 11 o'clock, no sign of the Lord's coming. 12 o'clock. 6 hours late is a little late. In the West we would cancel the celebration, but here everyone was waiting in the hot sun. Already people became so dehydrated that they had to be carried away from the place with stretchers. And then all of a sudden, it must have been 12:30 or so, the gongs very sounded. It went into a crescendo, and then the temple doors flung open, and the Lord was carried out. And at that moment, I was almost down on my gums. That's what they say in Germany when you are very exhausted. You are down on your gums. I was almost down in my gums. But at that moment, my dear audience, please listen very carefully what happened. At that moment, first of all, a very refreshing breeze came out of the temple. Really refreshing, not air-conditioned refreshing. This breeze carried the scent, the beautiful, subtle, but yet mind-enchanting scent of the malati flowers. And it just entered into my nostrils. Remember, I'm from Germany. I was very frustrated about the wrong timings. We are used to be punctual. I forgot all my frustration with the Indian time schedules, because now I felt this was God time, and God is in perfect time whenever He comes, and we have to wait patiently when He decides to descend in our perception. And as this happened, the breeze and the scent, all of a sudden, I felt such a tremendous amount of love entering into my heart that I cried in public. That's also not done in Germany. I was very, very happy, and I somehow felt this is the highlight of my life. I felt that. I felt, to say it in simple English terms, ecstatic, totally overwhelmed. And there I saw one scene, which I want to share with you, a scene of love, of giving love and receiving love. See, it was so indescribably hot that the tar had melted at places. And now the chariot was there. It was standing there. The Lord had ascended the chariot. And people went around, welfare workers, who had bottles on their back and a little hose, and they would pump fresh water into the face of those who looked a little bit overheated. I think we should develop this culture in America when people are a little hot-headed. It works wonders on the emotions. So they had done this, and now there was one, and others went with fans around to fan those who are a little were a little hot. So there was this one old man. He looked so ancient as a banyan tree. And he was standing there before the chariot offering his prayers with deep gratitude and tears welling up in his eyes. But because of old age, he looked also troubled by the heat. Then one of these welfare workers who were there, you know, working either with the stretchers to transport people away or with the water sprinkling machines, he came with a fan and fanned this old man. And I went close, you know, to bring I had a sun umbrella and a whole anti-heat arrangement with me. I went close to also get a little breeze. But the old man became upset, highly upset at this. And he finally took the fan with a quick motion out of the hands of this man and began to fan the Lord, who was 200 meters away on the chariot. And as he fanned like this, I could feel, it was an objective investigation on faith and relationships for me. I could feel how the cool breeze which I had felt and which everyone had held, we all, you know, this was a few million people who went when the breeze came, how this cold breeze came to the old man and just enveloped him. And I could feel here was a loving relationship between the Lord and his devotee going up, out, giving love and receiving love. So I want to say, my dear audience, I will talk a little bit about human love also, but I want to bring to you an experience which I have felt, that if a person can actually feel the love of God in his life, and then also respond to it with a joyous response like prayer and so on, then there is a communication circle which is so divine and so absolutely empowering that it is amazing. I was in this festival and I started then to dance for 8 hours. Later, after 8 hours were gone, everyone told me I had drunken 2 buckets, that's 20 liters of water, and I didn't need to go one time to the bathroom. It was all absorbed in the atmosphere because of that ecstatic feeling of feeling love and giving love. It's entirely empowering, especially if you practice this exchange with God, the reservoir of all love. It's entirely empowering, and I believe the human being so sincerely looks for this and wants it. So I will therefore talk a little bit about this. The search for love in this world is often unsuccessful. I feel because of an ignorance where to find perfect love. And as a result, there is heart pain in many, many people today. You can cure bodily pain by applying an ointment or, you know, some other medicine. You can also cure mental pain, but heart pain, a broken heart, because of a broken relationship, is difficult. And someone who does not feel love of God in his life suffers from a broken relationship. A broken relationship which will go into all the areas of his search. That is the search for the lost friend par excellence, the lost relationship to the Supreme. According to the Vedic scriptures, we are all part and parcels of God. We are happily dancing like sparks who dance in the fire. We dance happily in our original position as part and parcels of God. But oh, when we fall out of that dance, when we fall out of that fire, it is troublesome. It's a broken relationship. It's not to be ignored. And what is the result of falling out of the fire of God? Well, you struggle for existence for a few days and then you fade away. That is called death in our human terminology, this fading away. There is no death for the eternal soul, but one circle of experience ends to open for a new circle of experience, where hopefully we can repair that broken relationship. Often, due to ignorance, we do not know where to find this love. Many, many people try to find it on the material level, where they want to find it in a emotionally or physically satisfying relationship. But as spiritual beings who are making at the moment a human experience, we always have the opportunity to turn to the spiritual platform. According to one French philosopher, a spiritual philosopher, Pascal, Jean-Paul's, Blaise Pascal, Do we say, we have a French speaking person. How do we say Blaise Pascal, probably?
That's right.
Yeah?
Blaise Pascal.
Blaise Pascal, yes. He said the human being is at a very important crossroad. He can decide for the divine or for the material. The Vedic scriptures give the example of a fish who swims in a river. The fish can always decide to swim on the left bank of the river, or towards the left bank of the river, or towards the right bank of the river. So in the same way, we, who are on middle ground, souls, spiritual souls in a material body, can always choose, do we want to go to the material side, or do we want to go to the spiritual side? Like fishes, go left or right, and many variations in between, a little left, a little right, and whatever. Yes, so when we turn in our search for love towards the material platform, we actually turn to a limited atmosphere, limited by time, for instance. But also limited to other things. It is said when you turn for love to the physical platform, love will come towards you, but love will not come alone. Love will come with so-called friends. So-called friends of material love are, expectations, frustrations when the expectations are not met, enviousness or jealousy, ignorance, and finally madness also. It's a little bit like when I lived on that island where I grew up. I grew up on an island between Germany and Denmark. In our villa, we had, I wanted to invite one man whom we called Fritz Monarch. Fritz Monarch was a professor who had, out of protest to the German educational system, taken to the streets. He lived on the streets, and he would educate people on the streets. He lived in parks, and he had a gathering of like an audience of 50 people who listened to him. He lived on donations. He was really a truly person who, like Socrates, who had left the ways of the society. So I always wanted to invite Fritz Monarch to our home, and he came, but he never came alone. He had these amazing people with him, and whenever they left from our home, the whiskey was missing from my father's alcohol or whiskey bar, money was missing, good paintings were carried out from the living room, everything was missing, always. And my parents said, "Whom did you invite?" I said, "Fritz Monarch." "Oh, Fritz Monarch is good, but his friends are... They always take things and don't ask what they take." "Then can you not invite Fritz Monarch alone?" And I said, "I don't know. He always comes with his entourage." So my parents told me, "You can only invite him if he agrees to come alone." And Fritz would always come with his other friends. So this is what is so frustrating if you want to make a relationship with love in this world. I'm giving this as an example. Love will bring these other things which belong to the limiting and limited sphere, so that truly a human relationship which is based on love will always become interfered, not with love, but the other things which come along with it. Love comes with these other things, when almost like a man comes with his shadow when he visits you. So, therefore, in spiritual knowledge, we always hear that you must have your love of God. That is very, very important. Without that, you will not be able to experience true love. You will always have shaded love. It is said the spiritual love has an unlimited dimension, not limited by time, and not limited by the material limitations like enviousness, expectations, and frustrations when it's not met. The spiritual feeling towards God has two symptoms. It's called chamatkar and apurvata. Chamatkar means totally astonishing. You never actually stop to wonder, what is this feeling? It's never stale or known. Chamat means it puts you in a wonder. It's full of wonderment. Is that an English word? When Pamela nods her head, then I know I'm on the right track. So this is full of wonderment. And apurvata means it feels always totally new, as if it is for the first time. In Hollywood movies, people like to say this, it is as good as the first time. But I believe they yearn for a spiritual experience projected into the limiting experience of Hollywood or Bollywood. So it is said about the devotee who sees the Lord, he says, is this the God of love? Or is it a streak of lightning in a monsoon cloud? What is this? And the experience is described to be totally overwhelming. It is said that from the Lord, when he throws a compassionate or loving eye on his devotee, waves of mercy emanate and flood the heart of the devotee so that it is very, very ecstatic. One Sufi self-realized soul would run through the market and say and call out, God, leave me alone, leave me alone, I'm too ecstatic now for this world. Of course, he said that in a loving jest, like the joke. He could not imagine a moment where he was not fulfilled. And it was a maddening, a transcendental feeling of totally being totally overwhelmed. I have a friend whom hopefully all of you will have the chance to get to know. My friend is Radhanath Swami, who has written a biography, an autobiography, and he describes when he was not yet in this line, when he was searching very, very much. A God-conscious person should always consider himself a searcher. I want to say, when he was just looking at different spiritual paths and had not yet made a commitment, he went to this village in India, Vrindavan. Who of you has heard about this amazing village? Oh, good number has heard. Yes, I'm going after New York to Vrindavan. That will be a culture shock, a love shock. Although, no, I must be fair. The New Yorkers are very, very kind to me. Whenever they see a monk, they feel let's be good, let's be good. So at least that's my experience. So anyways, so he came into this village, and there was a person who was just smiling, but he would not talk to anyone. In fact, he communicated by writing his message on a tiny little blackboard. And he said, if you stay, wipe. Mm-hmm. He needed the space for the next part of the sentence. Here in Vrindavan, erase. Mm. You will become like us. Intoxicated in love. Mm-hmm. Welcome. How nice is it? If you stay here with us, you will become like us, intoxicated with love. Very good. This is what the human heart yearns for. This is what it hankers for. But to find it, one needs to know a little bit the art of viveka, or distinction. I will now move into another deep area of my little presentation. I want to go into what I call spiritual techniques for developing love. After having first spoken about the need of feeling love and giving love, being in an exchange, I would like to talk now how we could realize it. There are many tips, but I would like to give you three, and I can imagine that maybe they will make you think a little, and you will search a little, and you will also maybe one day tell your friend, if you stay with me, you will hopefully also experience love. Welcome. First, you need to know the art of knowing what is what. There is an ancient story in India about Bilva Mangala Thakur, a person who was very, very rich, and he was called to the funeral ceremony of his father. As the eldest son, he had to do all the funeral rites. But as he was seeing the body of his father being devoured by the flames of the funeral pyre, he did develop what normal people, what we usually would feel, feeling of great separation and a feeling of great mourning. He was overcome, imagine this, by a great, great feeling of lusty emotions. He felt, he was reminded of the fire of passion. And it became so strong that he left his own father's funeral to visit the, I only know a bad English word, in German I know all the good word, the courtesane. Is there something which, how do we?
Mistress.
Mistress, yes. Oh, you, verstehen Sie Deutsch? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, gut. the mistress, a woman practiced in the art of lust. So, he felt so much pulling, that he was pulled away from one fire to enter another fire. He came to the river where there used to be a bridge, but it was a very gloomy night. The monsoon had just broken out, and the river had swelled and took away the bridge. He was so overcome with these lusty emotions that he jumped into the river and wanted to cross it, but he saw it was almost impossible. So in the last moment he caught hold to something which saved him from drowning and finally made it to the other bank. When he came out of the river and looked what he had taken, he almost fell back in the river. It was a dead corpse which had blown up by the fermentation when decomposes the body. This was a second signal of death. First his father, then this body now. So it's a long story. He goes and overcomes almost impossible obstacles until finally he is before this little castle in the forest. There are flashes around, lightning around him, and he knocks at the door, and a servant opens and immediately recognizes, my God, Bilva Mangala has come and calls Chintamani, the flesh artist. She comes and she looks at Bilva Mangala, whose cloth is torn, who is bleeding from minor injuries. You know, he had fought with snakes, and I don't tell you the whole story. It's really a long story. And she says, my God, Bilva Mangala, come in. What do you want? And he asked, what could I want at such a late hour? Oh, she says, Bilva Mangala, if you would use the same determination to try to get some limited pleasures out of the flesh, if you would use this determination to enter the unlimited ocean of love of God, you would be self-realized. As she teaches him, Bilva Mangala feels inside of him a window opening and giving way into the past so that he can look into the past. And he sees himself in another life, a previous life, sitting at the lotus feet of his spiritual master who had told him the same words. If you would use your determination to find unlimited love, you would be self-realized by now. This he hears and he remembers this scene. It's a scene which he knows very well. It is a scene which is engraved in the memory of his soul. Breaks down and crying, and he said, thank you so much for what you said. You have sent me on the way on my spiritual path. And Bilva Mangala goes to Vrindavan, this place which I was telling you earlier about, where this man greeted my friend on the blackboard. He goes to Vrindavan, and finally he has a realization of the Lord. And as he has a realization, he expresses it in this word. O my Lord, out of ignorance, I compared your smile with the moon. But you are much, much more loving and beautiful. Now when the moon hears this, out of shame, this is poesy now, Indian poesy, he falls down from the sky, breaks in 10 pieces, and all these 10 pieces take shelter at the toenails of the Lord. 10. So that we speak from this time about the illuminating power of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord hears his devotee explaining his heart to him and takes him in his loving embrace. So, yes, you have to start your journey, the journey of spiritual love, By first of all distinguishing between the material and the spiritual side. See, love is always seen as God who comes into this world. Look at any Hollywood movie. I mean, please don't look at any Hollywood movie, but always, you know, the ultimate value which remains when everything is hopeless and everyone is burned and shot and frustrated and is love. There's a man who loves a woman, and you can't sell a movie nowadays without this theme. It is repetitive, yeah? Because we all instinctively feel, yes, love. But where do we find the water? We do not find it in the hot desert sand of the temporary material world. We find it in a loving relationship with the Lord. Let me see, I have so many points here that I want to now come, but I want to... Yes, now I would like to equip you with what you could do to enter into the circle of divine love. First of all, it's a very good ancient techniques which I would like to share with you. They are very sacred. Have you seen that around saints in all traditions they usually make a circle of light? You know, they call it a halo in English. Have you seen this? Mm-hmm. Everywhere in India, in the West. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Please find a suitable sitting place. In India, yesterday I was in one office in the Empire State Building, one interreligious office. There were from the Russian Orthodox Church saints who had this halo. They have it in the not only in the Eastern Church, but also in the Catholic Church and Evangelistic Church. Everywhere you find it. Now, this is what is called a Rekha in Sanskrit, a spiritual circle which every one of us can develop. Maybe not, we should be humble and should not, want to become a saint overnight, you know, and be maybe proud how holy we are and ruin everything. But it's something which we can develop, the spiritual circle, which we can see. It's a circle of spiritual energy which protects us and also empowers us. You can see this with spiritual people when you meet them. It's not maybe that it goes like it is painted, but you feel a little touched in your heart. Oh, it's a little different atmosphere now. Oh yeah, what is it exactly? They have their spiritual circle intact. To give you an example, the spiritual circle, you could compare it a little bit with the immune system. When your immune system is very strong, you cannot catch diseases. I heard that there is now a very bad disease, a flu, which actually kills people, going on in India, and people have advised me to not go there, and I just... asked my secretary to phone an Ayurvedic doctor, and the Ayurvedic doctor just laughed and said, "You just take a few amalaki fruits. These are of high vitamin C content. You strengthen your immune system, and you will not get sick. It's very easy." So the spiritual circle, you could say, is something like a spiritual immune system which strengthens you and also protects you against the invasion of negativity, which you are bound to experience in a town like New York, or you know, on the wherever you are. The spiritual circle, you can increase your spiritual circle through, I will suggest you three techniques today, practices which you can practice every day, and these practices will almost help you to, you know, to, it's almost like blowing up a balloon. I mean, I shouldn't make such sounds in such a highly prestigious penthouse. building like a very good atmosphere around you. I don't want to say it. Let me say it strengthens your spiritual circle. That's a good way to put it. The first thing to do is good association. We are so much formed by the association which we have. Especially spiritual people, if we are in the association of spiritual people, it's really like a spiritual energy goes from them and finds a resonance in our spiritual soul. You must be knowing about resonance string or resonating strings. You play, for instance, in an instrument like a sitar, a certain melody string, and then when it has a certain frequency, the resonating strings will start to resound beautifully. Some very nice sound is there. So when you come into the right association, especially where spiritual practices are people who practice, who don't just talk, but who practice, you will feel how inside of you, your own spirituality begins to resonate. Your spirituality, which is often covered because you just have to be so busy, you have to do things, you have to be competitive in a competitive world, and so on and so forth. And this string in you, this side in you, is not really resounding. First, when you meet spiritual people, you might even feel a little strange because they are so different. You feel that a different energy. Now, how do I say? Can I say goodbye? Can I say hello? Or you know, can we shake the hand? Yes or no? We are a little disoriented at the very first sight of genuine spiritual people. When I saw my spiritual master first, I saw his spiritual circle so strong that I was so ignorant that I felt, well, maybe this is dangerous. See, I had been waiting for him in the Heathrow airport, and he also arrived 6 hours later. That's my German karma. When I wait for he had come, and then finally he walked from these tainted windows, you know, he came from the clearance, the immigration clearance, and he walked, and I saw a walking light, and when I saw him coming into my direct view, I felt flooded with the energy, and I come from the war generation, I mean my post-war generation. My father was very active in the European wars, and I just threw myself on the ground, not at all to out of respect, but to escape the radiation. This is how I genuinely felt, you know. I had to escape the spiritual radiation. but then I learned more, and I knew it was very good, you know. So keep spiritual association. I know my spiritual master said about the UN that there was that made 1 minute silence to think of in a good way for the benefit of the world. I heard it has increased to 2 minutes of silence because everyone can feel that spiritual practices, they do something to the heart. Now, when you meet people who are just steeped in spiritual practices, it's very good to be around these people, to have contact with these people, to hear their perspectives, which are sometimes challenging our own perspectives, and to become enriched and start to resonate also. The next thing which I would like to suggest to you, I've also said this the last engagement, is to chant the name of God, different names of God. This is very, very powerful. You must have experienced this when Sachi Devi was just innocently singing, leaving us in a way to enter her private temple, the temple of her heart, and singing for the Lord. We felt, oh yeah, let us hear. This is very good for us. So that hearing the holy names of the Lord, singing the holy names of the Lord, there are very, very, very good experiments who show us how the name of the Lord has so much power. Just a little while ago, I was asked to come to the deathbed of a man who couldn't die and who was suffering excruciating pains. It was a well-known person in the German situation. And you know, he had been admitted to the hospital already 10 times, but he was so absolutely attached to his life here that he just couldn't let go. For the dying person, those of you who have counseled dying people know you have to bring them to the state where they can let go, you know, then they can go. But he just couldn't do it. So as a last trick, they felt like this from the hospital. They looked for a spiritual person, and I was in town, and I was requested to come. So I went there. He couldn't talk any longer. He was just like this, you know. And I said to him, I went to him and said, do you, please, if you can see that I'm here, please just nod your head or blink your eyes or do something to let me know that you recognize that I'm in your presence. And he just, like that. Then I said, I will now do something. He was an Indian. That was his tradition. I will sing the names of the Lord. I believe that will help you. Let us see. Is it all right? I should make the face like he did. Oh, I was really feeling so much compassion for him. And so I started to sing. And there was a doctor, attending doctor, was a very wealthy man, you know, very well-kept, good hospital and so on. And now he watched the monitor and he told me, because his heart rate, which was just so fast, galloping horse rate, went down to normal. That meant he lost his fear and his tension. And then I said, I have done what I wanted to do. Said also to the doctor, I've done what I wanted to do. I think that's good. I will leave now. Just give me a ring when something happened. And I was just only out of the hospital, and I knew exactly what would happen. The doctor phoned me and said, "Swamiji, you have made a wonder. Our patient could happily leave." I mean, his body was wrecked with diseases here. I mean, don't worry, I had not killed him. I had taken the anxiety, the tension from him. And yes, I'm very grateful to be an instrument of helping a soul. Thank you very much for calling me. And I said, "What magic did you work?" I said, "There is a magic which all of you doctors must know. Invite me for a seminar and I can talk about it here. I only can be brief. The names of the Lord invoke the presence of the Lord, and that is always giving what the soul needs, the feeling of love, the feeling of security, the feeling of being accepted." Another thing I want to say, I can only say this briefly, is please try to read every day a passage in a holy scripture, because it will change your paradigm, your glasses in which you will look at the world. And when you look differently at the world, you will get different results in your activities. This is the power of ancient scriptures. It is described, they are powerhouses of the Chit Shakti, that is the knowledge-giving Shakti, energy, and they are also powerhouses of the Bliss Shakti. When you can read these scriptures, which are nothing less than spiritual vibrations, and if you can allow this to enter your heart, you will experience a higher level of perception, and so on. So these three practices I would wholeheartedly recommend to you. Learn to have spiritual association. Then learn to sing the name of the Lord in the sacred ancient mantras. And finally, read in the spiritual scriptures and take it into your heart and let it become your eyes, looking through the eyes of spiritual knowledge. You see much more than if you look through the eyes of flesh and water and whatever other substances are there. This is my recommendation from my heart for all of you. I guess the main thing which I want to talk about today is a triangle relationship. In this world, I don't even know if there's an English word, triangle relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. It is catastrophic. I mean that, but this problematic constellation. A threesome. Imagine, here is a woman, here is a man. They act as friends and lovers, but the man is secretly thinking of a third. This is called threesome, thank you. Or here's a woman, but the woman thinks of a third lover, a secret lover. That is problematic. In spiritual, if you want to experience the ocean of love, this is a must. Listen very carefully. When two people go in the darkness, if they want to see each other, they need the sun so that the darkness is dispelled. So if we who are here in this material world, the world of change, if we are here, we do really need God to see each other properly. We need the third aspect. Relationships which can focus on this divine reality become so absolutely fulfilling. Friendships which have this threesome constellation. It only works if there is a sun, really. become so absolutely fulfilling, and the insecurities are going away. This is what we can experience in spiritual communities, where we have this pronounced emphasis on the third personality, the personality of Godhead. See, very often we hear about spiritual techniques which are, you know, this yoga and that yoga exercise, breathing exercise, or psychotherapeutical technique. But the ancient traditions always tell us that the real point is to somehow use your human freedom to make that journey of love which will bring you to the oceanic depths of the Lord's love. And I believe really that is something we should openly talk about. It is something which we should not be shy. This is the true essence of spiritual love or spiritual life. It is the overwhelming presence of the Lord. I want to thank you very, very much. I want to invite you to start drawing your spiritual circle around you, or filling your spiritual circle around you. Don't tolerate when you feel full of insecurities, when you feel anger, bitterness, negativity. You should not tolerate it. You are a human being who can respond to the highest relationship. Only when you feel enthusiasm, when you feel a natural feeling of detachment from unhealthy things, you know that your spiritual circle is intact. This is what I came to deliver for you. I hope it was appropriate. I hope that I have reached your sacred hearts and filled them with joy. I want to thank you very much. Hari Bol. Thank you for your good reception.